Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Zichu Rosh Hashanah Daf Zayin, the first parak of Rosh Hashanim. Zichu Rosh Hashanah has been generously sponsored as a schus for Chaya Bas Esther. So the three topics we're going to focus on, number one, the Gemara brings a braisa that notes that the first of Nisan is significant with respect to other halachas as well. Be'echo ben Nisan Rosh Hashanah v'chadashim li'iburin t'umashkolim yesh omrim af l'schiris batim. The first of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for months, for Ibur years, and for the separation of the Shkalim, and some say, also for the rental of houses. The Gemara explains that the reason that our Tana did not include months in the Mishnah is B'shanim k'mayri, b'chadashim k'mayri. He's discussing ways in which the new year is relevant to years, meaning to 12-month periods that have halachic significance, and he's not discussing ways in which it is relevant to months. He did include Iburim because B'shanim k'mayri, b'hapsaku lo k'mayri. Because he's discussing only beginnings. He's not discussing culminations, such as the end of the period when the court may proclaim a leap year. He did include the separation of Shkalim, since the Braisa taught that if one brought the funds from the old year, he has fulfilled his chiyuv, and therefore the Tana could not state it as an absolute rule, for this implies it would invalidate the old Shkalim. Therefore, he chose to omit this law entirely. Pointing me to his Tana Braisa, hen hi'idush ma'abri nashana ko Adar. They testified that we may add a month into the year during the entire month of Adar. This testimony was necessary because there were those who said that the leap year can be declared only until Purim, the 14th of Adar. The Gemara explains that the reason for limiting the adding the leap year only until Purim is that since people learn the halachas 3 days before Pesach, asi lezuzalei b'chametz, the people might come to be lax in observing the prohibition against chametz. Rashi explains that people in the distant communities will have it fixed in their minds that Pesach is in 30 days and they'll not listen to the messengers that come who tell them that it's a month later. The Gemara explains that the other Tana would respond that people know that declaring a leap year depends on calculations, and the reason for the delay was that the rabbis did not finish their calculations until this time. And pointing through his Tana Braisa, Hamaskir Bais Chaver L'Shana, Mona Shnei Masar Chodesh Miyom U'Yom. If one rents a house to his fellow for a year, he counts 12 months from day to day, and the lease expires exactly 12 months later. The Im Amar L'Shana Zo, and if he said that the period of the lease was for this year, then even if it was on the first of Adar, when the lease was signed, Kevin She'egiyah Yom Echem B'Nisan also L'Shana. As soon as the first day of Nisan arrives, a year has been completed. The Gemara explains that even according to the one who said, Yom Echem B'Shana Chashuv Shana, one day of a year is considered like an entire year, it's different here, D'Lotarach Inish L'Megar Beisul L'Batzim Matrasim Yomim. Because a person doesn't bother to rent a house for less than 30 days. Rashi explains that it's considered as if he lived there a full year, only if he was there for at least 30 days. When the Gemara suggested that Rosh Hashanah begins in Tishrei, it answers that when a person rents a house for this year, close to Tishrei, he intends to rent it for the entire rainy season until Nisan. The Tana Kama of the Braisa and the Tana Ba'ar Mishnah did not include it in their list because in Nisan as well, clouds are common. Rashi explains that they therefore consider Nisan still part of the rainy season. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara brings a braisa that notes that the first of Nisan is significant with respect to other halachos as well. Be'echo ben Nisan Rosh Hashanah v'chadashim li'iburin l'trum eshkalim yesh omrim af l'schiras batim. The first of Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for months, for Ibur years, and for the separation of the shkalim, and some say also for the rental of houses. The Gemara explains that the reason that our Tana did not include months in the Mishnah is b'shanim k'mayri b'chadashim lo k'mayri. He's discussing ways in which the new year is relevant to years, meaning to 12-month periods that have halachic significance, and he's not discussing ways in which is relevant to months. He didn't include Iburim because Paschal Kamari, Bahapsakul Kamari, because he's discussing only beginnings. He's not discussing culminations, such as the end of the period when the court may proclaim a leap year. He did not include the separation of Shkalim, since the Braisa had taught that if one brought the funds from the old year, he has fulfilled his chiyuv. Therefore, the Tana could not state it as an absolute rule, for this implies it would invalidate the old Shkalim. Therefore, he chose to omit this halacha entirely. Point number two is taught in a braisa, hen idush ma'abri nashana ko Adar. They testified that we may add a month into the year during the entire month of Adar. This testimony was necessary because there were those who said that the leap year can be declared only until Purim, the 14th of Adar. The Gemara explains that the reason for limiting the adding of the leap year only until Purim is that since people will learn the halachas 30 days before Pesach, asi lezuzalei b'chametz, the people might come to be lax in observing the prohibition against chametz. Rashi explains that people in the distant communities will have it fixed in their minds that Pesach is in 30 days, and they won't listen to the messengers that come who tell them it's a month later. The Gemara explains that the other Tana would respond that people know that declaring a leap year depends on calculations, and the reason for the delay was that the rabbis didn't finish their calculations until this time. And pointing me through his Tana Braisa, Maskir Baisa Chavera L'Shana, Monish Nemetzer Chodesh Mi Yom L'Yom. If one rents a house to his fellow for a year, he counts 12 months from day to day, and the lease expires exactly 12 months later. And if he said that the period of the lease was for this year, then even was on the first of Adar when the lease was signed, as soon as the first day of Nisan arrives, a year has been completed. The Gemara explains that even according to the one who says Yom Echo B'Shana Chashuv Shana, one day of a year is considered like an entire year, it's different here, because a person doesn't bother to rent the house for less than 30 days. Rashi explains that it's considered as if he has lived there for a full year only if he was there for at least 30 days. The Gemara suggests that the Rosh Hashanah begins in Tishrei. It answers that when a person rents a house for this year, close to Tishrei, he intends to rent it for the entire rainy season until Nisan. The Tana Kama of the Braisa and the Tana of our Mishnah didn't include it in their list because in Nisan as well, clouds are common. Rashi explains that they therefore consider Nisan still part of the rainy season. All right, so now we go to our Simur Dav Zayin, and our standard Simur is a Kli Zayin, a weapon, and we use a gun. So here goes. The gunslinger knocking out targets with suggestions for other Nisan Rosh Hashanahs, who was thrilled when it was determined after Purim that it was an Eber year, giving him a second Adar of rent, shot up his lease in fury when he realized he signed it was for this year and expired the first of Nisan. Once again in slow motion. The gunslinger, that must be on Duff Zion, Clay Zion, gun. The gunslinger knocking out targets with suggestions for other Nisan Rosh Hashanahs, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that the reason our Tanya does not include months in the Mishnah is that he's discussing the ways in which the New Year is relevant to years, meaning to 12-month periods that have halachic significance. He's not discussing ways in which it's relevant to months. He did not include Iburim because he's only discussing beginnings. He's not discussing culminations, such as the end of a period when the court may proclaim a leap year, and he didn't include the separation of Shkalim, since the Braisa taught that if one brought the funds from the old year, he fulfilled his chiyuv, and therefore the Tanya could not state it as an absolute rule, for this implies it would invalidate the old Shkalim. Therefore, he chose to omit this halacha entirely. So the gunslinger knocking out targets with suggestions for other Nisan Rosh Hashanahs, who was thrilled when it was determined after Purim that it was an Eber year, giving him a second Adar of rent. Which reminds me of a machlokes regarding until when can one add a leap year? Is it the entire month of Adar or only until Purim? The Gemara explains that the reason for limiting the adding of a leap year only until Purim is that since people learn the halachos 30 days before Pesach, the people might come to be lax in observing the prohibition against chametz. Rashi explains that people in the distant communities will have it fixed in their minds that Pesach is in 30 days and they'll not listen to the messengers that come who tell them that it's a month later. The Gemara explains the other Tanya would respond that people know that declaring a leap year depends on calculations, and the reason for the delay was that the rabbis didn't finish their calculations until this time. So the gunslinger knocking out targets with suggestions for other Nisan Rosh Hashanahs, who was thrilled when it was determined after Purim that it was an Eber year, giving him a second Adar of rent, shot up his lease in fury when he realized he signed it that it was for this year and expired the first of Nisan. Which reminds us that if one said that the period of the lease was for Lashana Zot this year, then even it was on the first of Adar when the lease was signed, Kevin Shigi Yom Echo B'Nisan also Lashana, as soon as the first day of Nisan arrives, a year has been completed. The Gemara explains that even according to the one who holds Yom Echo B'Shana Chashuv Shana, one day of a year, is considered like an entire year, it's different here, because a person doesn't bother to rent a house for less than 30 days. So once again, the gunslinger knocking out targets with suggestions for other Nisan Rosh Hashanahs, who was thrilled when it was determined after Purim that it was an Eber year, giving him a second Adar of rent, shot up his lease in fury when he realized he signed that it was for this year and expired the first of Nisan. All right, so now it's time for four Balat Ba'ach Chazara. Dav Gimel. So the Simur Dav Gimel is a Gamal, a camel. So here goes. The camels. That must be more in Dav Gimel. Gamal. The camels competing in the great annual camel race, taking place in the second month in the second. Which reminds, the Gemara brings a different source to show that the years of the king's reign are counted from Nisan. Mohazer said it's derived from V'yachol Ivnos Bechosh Hashani B'Sheni B'Shnas Arba L'Machuso. He, referring to Shlomo Melech, began to build the base of Mikdash in the second month, which is Iyar, in the second, in the fourth year of his reign. What does the pasuk mean by repeating in the second? Lo sheni lo yerach shamonim bo l'malchuso. Does it not mean the second month after the month from which the king's reign is counted? That is, Iyar is the second month of the king's reign, which begins in Nisan. We see from here that Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for kings. So the camels competing in the great annual camel race, taking place in the second month in the second, race past the non-Jewish king, whose reign was counted in Tishrei, Which reminds us, with regard to the Mishnah's ruling that Nisan is a Rosh Hashanah for kings, Rav Chisda said, Rosh Hashanah l'malchi Yisrael, v'malchi umas ha'olam mitishe menina. They taught this ruling only with respect to kings of Yisrael, but with respect to the kings of the other nations of the world, we count their reigns from Tishrei, since, in referring to an incident with Nehemiah that took place in Kislev, the Pasuk describes it as occurring in the 20th year, and referring to an incident that took place later, in Nisan, the Pasuk also describes it as occurring in the 20th year, Makal the Rosh Hashanah, Lev Nisan, who evidently the Rosh Hashanah with respect to the king's reign is not Nisan. And once we know it's not Nisan, it stands to reason that it begins in Tishrei, which marks the new year in many other contexts. So the camels competing in the great annual camel race, taking place in the second month, in the second, race past a non-Jewish king, whose reign was counted in Tishrei, and who was beginning to look sour as he realized he was about to lose this massive bet. Which reminds us, when Rav Yosef challenged Rav Chisda's ruling that the reign of non-Jewish kings is reckoned from Tishrei, based on Psukim referring to Dariavesh's reign, where Tishrei did not trigger the next year count of his reign, Rabbi Yitzchak answered, Koresh mel kasher ayet lafichach manu lo kamalchi Yisrael. Koresh, referring to Dariavesh, was a virtuous king, therefore they reckon his reign as they would for kings of Israel from Nisan. When later Psukim are brought to demonstrate that Nisan did not trigger the next year of his reign, Rabbi Yitzchak answered that it was not a kasha, Kadim Kodim Shehichmitz, here in the parsha about the resumption of the temple's construction, which reckons Dariavesh's second year as beginning in Nisan, the references to the period before he soured, Kanul Acher Shehichmitz, whereas here in the parsha which does not reckon his seventh year as beginning in Nisan, the reference is to the period after he soured. And then we're on the next stop, we'll discuss how Dariavesh soured. Daf Dalet, so the Simur Daf Dalet is a door. So here goes. The door, that must mean we're in Daf Dalet, door. The door to enter the shul featured a huge slot for giving tzedakah to get into Olam Haba, which reminds us, Rav Kahana objected to Rabbi Yitzchak's contention that Dariavesh soured by the time of Ezra's journey, for it's written in a letter that he sent with Ezra to give the governors of Yehuda that the Jews should be given whatever animals as offerings and supplies they needed daily without fail. Rabbi Yitzchak answered that from this very passage we can see that he acted purely for selfish motives rather than the sake of heaven. For Dariavesh says, so they may offer pleasing offerings to God of heaven and pray for the lives of the king and his children. The more questions if this is problematic, for it's taught in a brisa concerning one who says, I donate this el to tzedakah, so that my son shall live in this chus of the mitzvah, or that I should have a share in Olam Haba, or is it tzadik gamur? This person is a complete tzadik. So why should Dariavesh be considered self-serving? The Gemara answers that this is not a difficulty, kan b'Yisrael, kan b'ovdei kochavim, here. The brisa deals with the Jew, while here, in the case of Dariavesh, we're dealing with idolater. So the door to enter the shul featured a huge slot for giving tzedakah to get into Olam Haba, and was made of alternating rows of wood and marble. Which reminds the Gemara brings three differences between how Shlomo HaMelech and Dariavesh built the temple with rows of wood between rows of marble, which demonstrate how Dariavesh had soured. So the door to enter the shul featured a huge slot for giving tzedakah to get into Olam Haba, and was made of alternating rows of wood and marble. Whereas the exit door next to it had a Yom Tov calendar posted on it, reminding members not to transgress the Los Haseh. A Balta Acher. Which reminds the Mishnah today that Nisan is also the Rosh Hashanah for the Regalim, and the Gemara explains the legal significance, Nafkamina Nodu Lamekam Alei B'Balta Acher. The Nafkamina relates to one who made a vow with respect to subjugating him to the Lo Sase of Do Not Delay. One who voluntarily vowed to bring an offering is prohibited to delay fulfillment of his vow beyond a certain period. The Gemara brings a five-way Machlokas regarding when one transgresses Balta Acher. Our Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon holds Shal Shagam Kesidron V'Chagam Matzos Techila. The three chagim must pass in sequence, with Pesach first. Daf hay, so the simmer daf hay is hay. So here goes. The children joyously jumping in the hay. Hey, that must mean we're on daf hay. The children joyously jumping in the hay for the 7 days of Tashlumim for Shavuos, which reminds us, the Gemara asks where the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon derive that Shavuos has 7 days of Tashlumim, and answers that they derive it from the source presented in the Brisa taught by Rabbi Bar Shmuel, which taught Am Retorah Minei Yomim V'Kadesh Chodesh. The Torah said two things, count days and sanctify Rosh Chodesh, Minei Yomim V'Kadesh Atzeres, count days and sanctify Chag HaShavuos. This teaches, Ma Chodesh L'Menuyev, just at the beginning of the month, is sanctified for a period equal to one of the units by which it is counted, meaning a day, Af Atzeres L'Menuyev. So too Shavuos is sanctified for a period equal to one of the units by which it is counted, meaning a week. So the children joyously jumping in the hay for the 7 days of Tashlumim for Shavuos, watching the Balta Acher parade, featuring several chiyuvim such as Nadarim and Nadavos, as well as Pe'aleka and Sadaka, which reminds us, a Brais on Dav Dalet Amud Aleph listed several obligations that are subject to the prohibition of Balta Acher, such as Nadarim, Nadavos, Hekdeshos, Sadakos, Maisos, Bechor, Pe'aleka, Shechel, and more. The Gemara here brings a source for each of these rulings. So the children joyously jumping in the hay for the 7 days of Tashlumim for Shavuos, watching the Baal Ta'achir parade, featuring several chiyuvim such as Nadarim and Nadavos, as well as Peah Leket and Tzedakah, were fascinated when one man noticed a blemish on his offering and transferred its Kedusha to a substitute. Which reminds the Gemara what the Braisa is referring to when it teaches that one is not chai for Baal Ta'achir for delaying payment of chiluf of its substitute. And after the first explanation is rejected, Rav Shesha said, Kagon Sha'arba Lav Shnei Ragaim Behumam. We're dealing the case where two Ragaim passed, and then the original Ola Shlomi became blemished, whereupon he transferred his Kedusha to another animal, and one more Yantav passed. You might have thought, Hoyo Umikoch Kamakas, since the substitute comes by virtue of the first offering, is treated as a single offering that passed three Ragaim, and the owner should be chai for Baal Ta'achir. The Pasuk is coming to teach that he's not chayiv. Dav Vav, so the Simur Dav Vav is a sword. So here goes. The wealthy sword swallower. Sword? That must be more on Dav Vav. The wealthy sword swallower who gave out tzedakah immediately to the anim, lined up and watching him perform, which reminds us, we learned from Befichoth that one is chayiv for Baal Ta'achir on tzedakah, and he has to give it out immediately because the anim need it immediately without delay, and he shouldn't think that he's only chayiv after three regalim pass, like in the case of Karbanas. So the wealthy sword swallower who gave out tzedakah immediately to the anim, lined up and watching him perform, because he learned that one is chai for Baal Ta'achir each and every day after the deadline, which reminds us one is chai for Baal Ta'achir for each and every day after the deadline passes. The Mir explains that since the mitzvah of Baal Ta'achir does not apply at night, since korbanos cannot be offered at night, therefore the mitzvah is renewed each morning. So the wealthy sword swallower who gave out tzedakah immediately to the anim, lined up and watching him perform, because he learned that one is chai for Baal Ta'achir each and every day after the deadline, realized his wife was feeling left out of Baal Ta'achir, so he gave her a beautiful sword necklace to be mesamecher for the chag. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zeir inquired if women are chayiv in Baal Ta'achir, perhaps since they're not chayiv in Re'iyah, they're not chayiv in Baal Ta'achir, or perhaps since they are chayiv in Simcha, they are chayiv in Baal Ta'achir. According to Abai, women are not chayiv in Simcha, rather it's the husband who's chayiv to be mesamech her.
Alright, that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.